Thank you, Ms. Lisa. Brother Chris, thank you. Choir, thank you, congregation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in front of you or in the pew beside you. Romans chapter 1. As we look at the releasing by God, or the releasing of God, how God at some point in a person's life will say, if that's the way you want to live, have at it. And we'll see that in Romans chapter 1. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses out of Romans chapter 1. Notice what verse 24, beginning verse 24, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God, and there he is again, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, there it is again, to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, you and I know this, that humanity is turning away from God at an alarming rate. The God who loves them is being replaced by the false God who hates them. God is God, we know that. He can do whatever he wants. But there is a point when God says to a person, if that's the way you want to live, if that's the way you want it, go for it. If you want to be a bullheaded, a mule-headed, if you want to be so strong in the way you want to live, you want to do your own thing, God says go for it. Because that's what you're going to do anyway. And then one day you're going to face, those persons are going to face God on judgment day. In the previous verses, we know in verses 18 through 23, God's word shares here that men suppress the truth, or they don't care about the truth. They don't want the truth. And we just read in verse 28 where it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They just said, I don't like God. I don't like his ways. I don't like his word. I don't like his church. I don't like his people. I don't like the rules. I don't like what God's telling me. They choose a different path because they don't like God, period. They dismiss God and his truth. They say he's irrelevant. They say he's from days of old. It's for Israel. It's not for us today. They convince themselves and others that his truth is not important. And once a man and a woman gets to this point, God says, have it your way. You're on your own. But one day you're going to still stand before me and you're going to be judged, but have it your way. Lead your family the way you want to lead them. Lead them astray. Lead them down devil's road. Lead them whichever way that you want to lead them. But one day you're going to face judgment because of that. I knew there was a man in one of the churches that we used to be in. And I've shared this story, but I think it's fitting, so I want to share it again. That had a son that had problems. And one of his problems was this son loved to get high on sniffing gas. He would get a gas can and, lawnmower gas can and just go in out in the backyard in the shed and just sniff gas sometimes in the evening time so he could get him a little high, a teenager. And the dad could not get his son to quit. He tried and tried. He did numerous things to stop him, but nothing worked. So one day the dad just kind of released him and said, "Son, if you want to keep doing this, keep doing it. Keep on doing it because I know where I'm going to find you. I'm going to either find you in the graveyard or I'm going to find you in the jail. So keep on doing it because I know where to go look for you if you keep it up." And eventually, because of that statement to his son, the young man did stop doing that. And I think that's the way maybe men went when they get around God's word and they realize that God's going to release them, maybe they will say, "I don't want to be released by God. I don't want the God, the creator of this universe, to let me loose and let me do what I want to do, because if he does, and I'm sinful, and I've got Adam in me, I've got the sinful nature, there's no telling what all I can do or how I can destroy people's lives." And we see it going on all around us, day in and day out. God says in verse 24, "If you want to live apart from me, go for it." Dr. Adrian Rogers, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, tremendous preacher, Bellevue Baptist in Memphis, Tennessee, calls these verses the last step on the way down. The last step on the way down. Because a person who has lost his moral compass usually heads down this familiar evil road. Notice the road I'm referring to. The road is sexual immorality, a good bit of it. Obviously, some other things going on in the passage, but I would say that a lot of it is dealing with sexual immorality. Just letting their body, do what you want to do, whatever. Just allowing the lust, allowing all of the things of this world to draw you in the cesspool of immoral sexual immorality. We know America's in a huge crisis. It believes that what they hear on TV or what they hear from a college professor or a liberal theologian about science and other things is true rather than what God says. And we know God has spoken in his word about how we're to live. It's clear, but to the world and to super, super educated people and others, they don't think it's clear. They think you just kind of make this up as you go. And you make decisions based on how much, where you live or whatever. You live in the South, so you're going to be a little bit more moral. But if you go somewhere else, maybe you don't have to live that way. But we know wherever you live, if you live in China, if you live in Hong Kong, if you live in Alabama, wherever you live, we got to follow God's word. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if this book was written, in first century Israel around that time. It's still applicable today. It's still a living word of God. It's alive and well. It speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word. And so I want to touch on a few things today. Why sexual immorality is such a terrible sin. Let me give you the first truth. It's such a terrible sin because the Bible says it's a sin against your own body, against your own self, against one's self. It's against you when you do that, or your children when they do that, or your grandchildren. They decide they want to live the way they want to live. It's against their own self. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:18, look, notice what it says. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside or without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What a terrible sin, to sin against your own body. Fornication can be adultery, homosexuality, all of that stuff involved in is really considered under that umbrella, but it's all sin. It's pollution. It's uncleanness. He that commits these sins does it against his own body. He defiles his own body. He degrades his own body, making it one with the body of the adulterer, or one with the body of the homosexual, or one with the body of the prostitute. That's how serious it is. Against your own body. Notice also the second truth I want you to know. It's a sin against the home. A sin against the home. We know that homes are wrecked by sexual immorality every single day. Someone decides they want someone else. The pasture's greener on the other side. They leave the family. They leave the spouse. They leave the children. They do whatever and go live like they want to live. And this attitude destroys the home. It destroys the children. It destroys relationships. It's terrible. It's against the home. It defies the home. I'm not talking about the building of the home. I'm talking about the people in the home. And it trickles on down even to the grandchildren and so on. You know, if you had some of this happen in your home, you know how it affected you. And you know how it affected your children. And you know how it's going to affect your grandchildren, or it does affect your grandchildren. And on and on and on. It even gets, I think, even deeper. When we decide, or some of our family or people we know decide that they're going to just live life, they're going to lust, they're going to be passionate about this world and their body and other people's bodies and all kinds of things that the devil wants them to be passionate about, which we should be passionate about, it's also a sin against the church. It affects the church. Because the church is made up of people. I'm not talking about the building, as Brother Chris alluded to earlier. We're talking about people. Some 50 years ago, I could take you to a few folks in my home church 50 years ago where the pastor decided he was going to run off with another woman. And he did. He had a wife and children. And she had a husband and children. And if we could see the way God sees things, and we can see a little bit of it, but we sure can't see the way God sees it, we could see a pattern that affected the children, how they deviated off the path because of what mom and daddy did, and how the church was greatly affected by this pastor leaving. Just all of a sudden, no one knew it. About a month or so earlier, my mother reminded me once that during a revival, the preacher preached on sexual immorality. Preached on adultery. The evangelist did. And my mother said, that was kind of shocking to her, that during this revival that this sermon about sexual immorality, about adultery, would be preached. Well, a month later, the preacher ran off with another woman, and it destroyed the church. Obviously, they hung in there, and they made it. They worked through it. But I'm sure there's no telling how many people that left and maybe never went back and said, I don't want to be a part of that. It is against the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this. I don't have that on your screen. Here's what it says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So God says when you and I practice sexual immorality, or when someone does, their body is a temple, especially if it's a believer, where the Spirit of God dwells. In a few chapters beyond that, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, God says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ." And so, let me sum that up. So, you are part of the body of Christ as a believer and as a member of the body. When you sin, it hurts the whole body. When your children that are members of the body intentionally do something of this nature, it hurts the whole body. And so on. And I can recall an adult janitor with teenage kids of her own in a church near where we used to live decided she wanted a sexual relationship with a younger person. And it ruined her life. And it ruined her family, where she had been there for decades. It's a sin against the church. It's also a sin against the nation. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22. I don't know if I have it on your screen. Look at what it says. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man shall lay with a woman that lay with a woman, and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. Put away the evil from the nation, because it affects the nation. Now obviously, both of them shall die. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law. And so some of the things that they did during that time, when God was trying to raise up a nation, he was very, very stern about how people should live. We wouldn't do that today. But there are still things that apply to us. And that is, it affects the entire body of Christ. It affects the church. It affects the family. And it affects the nation. You can imagine how our nation, when God looks at our nation, he sees all of the pornography and sexual immorality going on. How he is affected by that. How he sees how it's destroying things that should be going on, or is hurting people that should be helping. God knows that sexual immorality, whether it's fornication, homosexuality, adultery, or any of that deviation, is detrimental to forming a nation of people who serve him, who are called by his name. And if they commit this sin, death was the only way to get these people out of there, to only do that. It literally destroyed a nation. It destroys, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's destroying our nation. No man is morally fit for leadership who is sexually impure. Proverbs chapter 31 tells us this. I don't have that up there. Here's what it says. Proverbs 31 says, "Do not give your strength to women." It's talking about strange women. It's talking about women that are of the night, women that are, for whatever reasons, sexually immoral, "nor your ways to that which destroy kings." God knows when we have our passion in the wrong area, it destroys a nation. Let me give you the last truth. God knows that sexual immorality is a sin against himself. Against God. And that's ultimately the one that we've got to stand before one day. That they're really the only one that matters. All the others are affected greatly by it. But this is the one that really matters. God's going to judge this sin. Let me give you a few verses. Psalms chapter 51. Verse 4. Let's see if I have it on there. Look at what it says. "Against you, you alone," the psalmist says, "have I sinned. What is evil in your sight? I have done," King David is saying this, "you are right when you pass sentence, and you are blameless You shouldn't be blamed when you're judging me in your judgment, because it is a sin against God. David knew that when he committed that adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, that he was sinning against his God, that he was a man after God's own heart, and he was sinning after that at God that he had a heart for. It's against God. Ultimately, Hebrews chapter 13 says this: marriage is honorable above all, or in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. This world thinks they're getting away with it. They can live the way they want to live. They can spend money on whatever they want to spend money on. All of their pleasures. God's going to judge them. It's going to be a bad day for some people. Not because we're better than them. It's because we've trusted Jesus. And we know that we've got to live the way God wants us to live. We understand that. They don't understand that for whatever reason. Or they've deviated off course. And God says, if you're going to get off course, stay off course. Have it your way. Live the way you want to live. But I'm going to judge you for it too. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul, it says. What a powerful verse. Sexual sin is not merely an affair, as the world wants you to think. Not a one-night stand. Not a fatal attraction. God says it'll destroy your soul. So please don't be convinced that watching a television show that it's okay. Don't be swayed by popular opinion. Because maybe we have children or grandchildren that do it. It's okay. Don't be fooled in believing because some activist on the Supreme Court says it's okay, that it's okay. God's the one that says whether it's okay or not. Satan is ultimately behind all of this thinking. And God's word says that any sexual relations outside the definition of marriage, whether it be fornication, adultery, homosexuality, whatever it may be, is a terrible sin. Encourage your children. Encourage your grandchildren. Whoever's around you. This may not be for you. You may not have struggled with any of this. I hope you don't. But I guarantee you there's somebody in your life or around your life that you may need to share something with about this. They've kind of gotten off track. They're heading off track. And God could release them. Maybe they don't even know God, but they're going down this path of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. And maybe God puts you in their life to say, you better have some boundaries. You better bring up some boundaries. And your boundaries are God's word. You better allow God's word to speak to you. Because it's a sin against your own body. It's a sin against your own home. Whether you have a home yet or not, but one day you'll have a home. And it's going to affect that home probably too. It's a sin against your own church, your nation, and God Himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for men and women who stand firm to say, there are some things that I just won't do. Like the late Adrian Rogers says, he will never cheat on his wife physically, but he could be pulled away in many other areas. But Lord, I thank you for men and women who know, Lord, know our boundaries. We know what we can't, what we shouldn't do. Lord, we're human, but still, we've got the Spirit within us. As long as we stay faithful to you, as long as we stay as diligent as we can, Lord, we're not perfect, but we've got a perfect Savior, and that's you, Lord. And so Father, I pray that you just help us, help those people that are fallen into this trap of sexual immorality and all of this evilness in this world. And we would be able to help them in a loving way. whoever it may be in our family, outside of our family. And Lord, thank you for your word. It is crystal clear how we are to understand marriage and all the confines around it. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.